Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
We're going to speak about grace a bit, and it's not going to be a grace message out there. It's going to be a grace message in here. What does grace causes us to do in church? If we see grace the right way, how does it look in church? How does it affect small group, church, outreach, patience and discipling? For those of you that know me, my passion is discipling. I think discipling, I sleep discipling. I apply everything to it. I just love to see people get saved and walking into maturity with Christ. And I want to put grace on the table and look through grace, in a way, discipling and touching lives for Jesus. Are you with me? Can we do this? I just want to say from the start, I know that grace is a topic. I've got bad manners. Sorry. My name is Werner, if you don't know me. I'm the pastor in Shofar Secunda. Like I said last time, I did a very good job in Cape Town. They promoted me to Secunda. And I don't know where they promote us from there. But it gets better. My wife is there with our little boy, Caleb. We've got guests at home, so she'll meet up with me for church tonight. This is my friend Rudy that joined me for the day. Thank you, Rudster. Awesome. I feel introduced. You introduced me as well. I just need to say a few words. Grace is a thing that caused us to do a lot of swinging from one angle to another. Am I right? Then people saying, yeah, but grace means you can do everything. I'm not getting into that thing today. I'm not getting into swinging from left to right. I'm just going to speak on the grace of God, the beauty of it, and how it inspires us to do His will and change lives, all right? And I just want to say, there's no but when it comes to the grace of God. If we understand it biblically, it's the most amazing thing there is, all right? So let's get into it. I'm going to go for it hardcore, and I want you to bear with me in the beginning. It's going to be a bit academically, and then it'll change over practically. 1 Peter 4 verse 10, as each one received a gift, each one, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And so His grace is so rich. And even though we don't understand it 100%, we still steward it in a way. We steward God's varied grace. We handle it in a way. All right? And sometimes we do amazing things without even knowing how we got there, but it just happens. It's also part of grace. But the fact is, we are stewards of God's grace, and a steward can be a better steward, or you cannot do so well, all right? So understanding grace and aligning our hearts in the right way can help us to be better stewards of God's grace, right? I want us to just keep that in mind. I want to ask you, what came first? It's a bit of a trick question, but some of you have heard it before. What came first when you got saved? Your faith or God's grace? Next verse. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. For you didn't find God. God was never lost. We don't invite God into our heart. We give everything to Him. His grace finds us in the darkest places. On roads we think we are so lost, He finds us. Grace finds us. And then we turn to Him by faith. All right? Now, Christian leaders more than 100 years ago was discussing. No, I don't think it was that long ago. When did C.S. Lewis die? Not that long ago. A long time ago. Christian leaders was discussing, coming together, and they said, what makes Christianity different? What makes it different than other religions? And then the one suggestion came up, the crucifixion of Jesus. And yes, because Jesus paid for the sins of the world. Something spiritually happened which we could not see, apart from the shots he took and being beaten. What happened there was spiritual, but other people have also been crucified, right? And some religions also makes connections with that. So they said, isn't there something else? They said, what about our moral code? Because it's really amazing the way we should love one another, the way God is just so smart in putting everything together. And it is amazing, but other religions also has moral codes, right? Even though it's not biblically inspired. And then C.S. Lewis walked in. He said, it's easy. It's grace. Grace. A God that comes and gives something that is totally and utterly unachievable by human effort. Gives it. I love you so much. The only God that comes down to the point where he dies to have a relationship with a sinner. Nothing like it in the world. The grace of God distinguishes us from any other religion where we work to a place of being rewarded or come into a place of trying to be peaceful with the environment. God's grace. There's no match for it. And so, what is the song that gets sung most in the world? Amazing Grace. Sweet the sound. John Newton. Now this guy, okay, let me just talk about John Newton for a second. He was a mulekapert. Okay. Firstly, he worked on slave ships with his dad since a young age. Not the ideal place for primary school. Okay. That is harsh environment. All right. So he learned all the things there. I mean, people got often beaten, the language on the ships, abuse, moral failure. He was exposed to it and he developed like that. At one stage, he worked on a slave ship. He was such a terrible man that when they were flogging and stripping the slaves from their clothes and hitting them, they hit him as well. They really couldn't live with him. And at one stage, they sold him as a slave. His dad had to go and find him. Say, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. They see him die. And he had to negotiate for him. Terrible man. Didn't know God. Jumped on a ship on the way to England or to the UK. Ship starts to sink. And he cries to God. All those beatings. Every time they stripped his clothes off him to beat him and leave him in dark rooms. Didn't change him. And God saved him. He cried to God. What does he say? He says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saves a wretch like me. Grace had the power to change that man. Not a whip, not a rod, not harsh words, not manipulation. Grace saved him. Writes a little song, gets sing, I think, about 10 million times a year. This world. That's a few YouTube hits. All right? So, to define grace, you need like 20 authors with all their books. Just a few ideas that gets us behind the heart of it. It's the undeserved kindness of God. Grace is the empowerment to do God's will. That's so important. Grace gets us to do God's will, not the opposite. Okay? It's God's riches at Christ's expense. It's what makes Christianity different. Now, allow me to do a bit of an illustration. Can I get three people on the stage, please? Where's our actors? Come on. Come. Quickly. Yen, twee, drie. We're going to have part one and part two. This is just like the introduction, like the trailer for the movie. We'll have the end later. Can I have someone like right here in front? One in front looking that way. On this side, one that side. So, who knows John Bunyan's book, The Pilgrim's Progress? Okay. Now, John Bunyan was another character. He preached the gospel, got thrown into jail for it. He said, I'm not giving up. So he writes the book, Pilgrim's Progress, which is basically the gospel. And in the Pilgrim's Progress, in jail, he writes this book. There's a main character. His name is Christian. All right. Christian is on the journey to eternal life. Christian has met with the grace of God. And a Christian is walking this journey over mountains, valleys. I think there's a swamp at one stage. I'm going to tweak the story a bit. Just bear with me. My version. But at one stage, two people join him. If we can just get that picture. They jump over the wall. That's what the book says. One on the one side, one on the other side. And they come, yeah, okay. And I'll come next to Christian here. And what they do is they come and walk with Christian for a duration of the journey. Right? But now in the beginning of the journey, Christian received the grace of God. She really, for practical purposes, was saved by the grace of God. These two jumped over the wall. They are walking with Christian. They talk like Christian. They look like Christian. For someone looking from afar, they look like exactly the same. And they are enduring this journey. Yes. Yes. The problem is, these two represent two variations of grace. Right? On the one side, sorry sister, we've got hypocrite. Alright? Or called lawlessness. Right? Now, this person is walking the road. The problem is, the way they look at God's grace is, it's okay for me to just totally and utterly ignore God. That's what God's love means to me. So I'll carry on with my life here. And grace is the blanket that I'm going to use to cover me. Now, it's obviously not what grace means, but she's on the journey for now. On the other side, we've got who? Who knows this? Who's this character? Legalist. We've got legalist. Okay? Legalist believes that she has obtained God's grace through what she has done. All right? Can you see the two wings on the side? I just want to say at this moment, this can mean a person which has not yet met Jesus, trying to fight for his love, and the same for this person. But you can also apply it as someone who is saved, and you might be leaning to one side or the other side at some time. All right? Okay? Right. Now, just for now, let me tell you what, at one stage in the book, they come to a place which they call the hill of difficulty. Right? What happens at the hill of difficulty? Only one goes up. Christian. Okay? And these two, they don't make it up the hill of difficulty. And we'll come back to why, but you can have a seat for a moment. That's part one. That's like the intro. Okay. I'm going to have them up here. And I'm going to try and lead us to a place where we understand this. So just take that in a box, put it somewhere in your heart. If you want to understand grace better, I want to just quickly talk about the nature of it. And there's an A and a B. Pride and the two legs of grace, which I quickly want to chat about. What I want you to do is, I want you to put a mirror up in front of yourself. We're all different. I find myself often leaning to this side. I find myself often leaning to that side. Right? I don't want to run ahead of myself, but if I find myself in a place of humility, God always helps me back to where His grace is. Alright? Let's go to the next slide. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, and for power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses." Isn't that amazing? When we are weak, what do? We run away from church. How does it work? Philippians 6, Bible says, "In prayer, I messed up this week. I think I can't go to church." Hey, that's just how we think, isn't it strange? When I'm weak, He's strong. Right? So Paul writes, I quickly want to talk on humility and its relationship with grace. What does Paul claim when it comes to sinfulness? He claims to be the worst sinner of all time. He says, "I'm the chief. I've sinned more than anyone in the world. And yet grace is given to him." John Newton, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound," that said there. "Wretch like me, how can it save me? Grace must be amazing if it can change me." All right? And so pride is our greatest enemy in receiving God's grace. Would you look at those two men? Pride is our greatest enemy. The moment we think we don't need grace, we won't get it. To overcome in a certain situation at your workplace, the moment we stop, we move from our knees to a place, I'm okay. Then you can't receive. You just closed your hand. And I want to say something. Please don't be offended by me. Is it okay? Let me just say it like in other terms. If you are in church this morning, all right, and you somewhere in your heart thinks, believes that you are God, doing God a favor to be here, watch out. Watch out. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I am honored to be in this place today. How did grace get me here, by the way? I don't deserve to be. I deserve to lie under the bridge. Let us keep that heart. We won't receive the grace of God. And even if we are saved, you can open or close the tap. All right? Remember the parable Jesus tells about the two prayers? This is putting this thing on the stage. Pharisee prays and says, God, thank you, I'm not like that man. I do this, I do that to my tithes, thank you. This guy can't even speak, he's beating on his chest. Lord, I can be in church worshiping. Wow, how far did I come? How did I get? I sometimes think back at my testimony. I don't know how I got out of the mess I was in. Grace. God came and He lifted me up. Now I can worship Him for the rest of my life. Let us always do. Be this man. Lord. All right? Are you following me? Pride closes the grace tap in our lives. Next thing that goes is our joy. Done. Next slide, James 4 verse 6. He gives more grace. Okay? So, you receive all of Jesus when you get saved, and you receive all of the Holy Spirit when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you what, you can grow in grace. Or grace can diminish in your life. There's a tap. Okay? He gives more grace. God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So, number one, God can only give grace to the humble. Grace can only be given by those who received grace. So who can minister? The humble. Only the humble can truly minister. You can try a show for a while, it's going to run out, you're going to get exposed. True, you will come out. All right? Grace can only be given by the humble. Only the truly broken can flow with ministry to others. Once again, why do we try and do the opposite? It's actually okay. My evil is like fine. I've needed help 3 weeks ago. Just holding out my position. The moment I do that, that closes. For me, I will start to struggle behind the pulpit. I will start to beat you guys for not being at all these things I planned. Because you know what? Grace has left me. I can't give it. God is amazing. He always uses the broken. Isn't that just, I love that. That means I can minister. It means we don't have to compete. It takes competition. You know what? I am so delivered from competition. I tell you that. It is the best feeling. Like trying to just run away from competing with other people, other places. Just get away from it. Joy in your life will increase. Amen? And let me tell you what. You'll find love at strange places. Just like this, where people are broken. Oh, God is so smart. Now, please Don't lose me here. The two legs of grace. Grace stands on two legs and both is important. They don't balance one another. They just 100% work together. Number one, grace, the one leg grace stands on is the goodness of God. Okay? Let me tell you this. God loves you so much more than what you know. And He is good towards you. I'm not preaching prosperity. Hang on with me. Just hang in there. He's a good God. He loves you. Wants to be good to you. Done. Agreement? Number two, if He is a good God, then He must be a good God. Which means He must act on His goodness. Which means He must do something with evil. Right? Isn't that true? One back, please. If He is 100% good and loving, He must act good and loving. And so He punishes evil because evil is not good. And it brings destruction. God is not bad when He punishes. He's being good. Right? But it's interesting, once again, how I think, I find myself, if I'm really honest, I dig deep. I want God to punish sin, but not here. Do it there, you know. Which puts me where? Yeah? Lawlessness. Got a lawless bone in me. Like, sort them out, but let me go. All right? Just trying to understand grace. Don't worry. Please don't feel condemned. We're just going somewhere. Brainstorming. It's going to end well. For while we were, this is basics, but let's just tie it together, okay? For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So the problem is we have evil, God must punish it. The great news is God stays true to His character. He punishes evil in Christ. We can only go to Christ for salvation. We know that, but it's the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. It's the only one who paid for our sins. So God can say, I am just. I am just. And I can still love the sinner. So God is a good God. Deals with evil. Listen, my evil, my sin is going to be dealt with. Alright? I'm going to pay for it, or Jesus will pay for it. But someone's going to pay. And praise the Lord, is not going to be me. Alright? Because it's not going to be, oh, happy day. Okay? But God provides a lamb. Alright? We're just talking about the grace of God. Who volunteers to take the punishment? Jesus. Christ. Now, can we get our three actors back on the stage? This is now season one, episode two. All right? Take your positions. And. Nee, juist, nog. Ons is nou weer terug. Ons is recap. Previously on the Pilgrim's Progress. Lawless jumps over the wall and joins Grace. awesome. Okay. Now, this person here has met with Jesus Christ. Jesus lifted her from a place of brokenness. That goodness that is in our heart is sustaining it, doesn't matter what comes. Alex, thy scripture with you, share it. What shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, suffering. We are being killed every day. Christians, okay. It's done. It's settled. Eternity is in our heart. All right? So she'll make it up the hill of difficulty, like in the book. Now, let me tell you why and what happens to these two, because I want us to understand our hearts a bit better. Now, hypocrite or lawless? Is not rechtig hier. Listen, in our church, it was funny. I'm telling the one girl, you are a hypocrite, lawless, and you are legalist. This one says, no, can I be legalist? Any case. Old Lawless comes to church. He's walking with Christian, doing the thing. All right. Comes to small group. Whatever encounters on, he's there. Looks the part. But deep in the heart of Lawless, there's a seed of rebellion. Okay? And what it ministers to Lawless is this. You must be able and allowed to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it. It's the deep echo of the heart. Alright? So when Jesus gives direction, there's a resistance. Okay? Good luck with working with Lawless in a team. Okay? Kruis en dwars. Klaar. Alright? And so when it comes to the hill of difficulty, another root thing in Lawless' heart is Lawless doesn't really believe that God judges sin. So I'm not going to go up the hill. Why? In any case, do what I want. I like going down the glijplank. I don't go up. So Lawless steps out. When the pawpaw hits the fan and faith is needed, Lawless excuses herself. God won't really judge me. His grace covers it. It is an understanding of grace that hurts you. All right? Lawless can't sit. Lawless is not, is given up. Let's give her a clap. Now, legalist is a perf van 'n ander kleur. Legalist is doing all these things to obtain God's love. Now, legalist is very hard with herself. She will not come 1 minute late for church or there's trouble. And you better not start the worship late. Erky. Okay. She's got this whole thing figured out. She's going to obtain God's love and God's grace through all these things she does. But the problem is it's for all the wrong reasons. It's not because she's madly in love with Jesus. And she doesn't know that he's already madly in love with her. She's trying to obtain that place. Now, let me just use this example. Let's talk about sex for a second. The deed is one thing, but you can do it for all the wrong reasons. If I don't sleep with my husband, he will find it somewhere else. So I sleep with him. Is that a blessing? That sucks, all right? Or, hey, we've got something special here. And when we are together in intimacy, God works a miracle. Same thing. You can do the same thing. But the one will take you over the mountains and the valleys. Now the problem with legalists is when the hill of difficulty comes, she takes out a list and she thinks, look, I've already done church, missions. So, God will be okay with me if I now marry this guy that doesn't love him, because all the other things that I've done, in a way, has weighed in. And so when it comes to the hill of difficulty, you can sit down, legalist. Falls away. Alright? Doesn't make sense? Now, it's funny we have three actors here, okay? Because you know what? The hill of difficulty will come for them. Will you do this for us on screen? Will you take your clothes off? And then we're gonna see some Christian lawless hypocrite. We're gonna see who goes all the way. I'm not directing at you guys, I'm just applying. Does it make sense? You can have a sit down. But Christian will say no and lose a big deal, but receives God's love. And the right things will come at the right time. Make sense, guys? In the middle, I'm weak. I've done nothing for God. I've done nothing for Him. He's done everything for me. He's carried me up to here. He's going to carry me up the hill. I don't know I'm going to get there. Start walking. Makes it all the way. My understanding of God's grace is so important. So important. Let me tell you what. Old legalist here is on a knife's edge. She's tired. She's ready to crack. She's been working her hiney off to please God and please people. Absolutely so perceptive. What is people thinking of me? Breaking point is here. Take it off your shoulders. Take it off. Who are you trying to impress? Jesus satisfied the Father, impressed God for us. Step away from being on knife's edge. Depression lives this side. This side. Recklessness lives this side. And also depression. But get away. Let's realign. Amen? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. You can course correct, guys. Even if you love Jesus, you can course correct this morning. All right? The old has passed away. Behold, the new have come. Now, let's turn it quickly to evangelism. We need to love and pray and facilitate people into an encounter with Jesus Christ and His love. Not wage war against their sin. Because we are going to teach them to be this side or that side. We are going to teach them to think, if I want to, I'm speaking legalist language, if I start to talk to her about her sin the whole time, and then she misses Jesus all the way. All right? I cannot change someone's behavior. Then I'm helping them to be a legalist. So one extreme. I can be here, and I can think I'm going to change this person by changing their sins. I'm helping them to be a legalist. Leave their sin for a month or two. All right? Get them to Jesus. On the other side, if I'm my personality difference, I can tell this person I can never address his sin. I'm helping him to be lawless. All right? I'm not saying never address it. But now how do you do this? We don't hammer people about their sins. We talk to God about them. And then we go to them. And if you have to have this conversation, we say, you know what? I love you more than anyone else. I will back you if you want to work on these things. But we must address this sin. But I'm standing behind you. And I'm backing you. And I love you. I'm helping lawless to come clean of his sin. I'm helping hypocrite. I love you. I back you. Come to Jesus. If we hammer people, we're going to lose them. I'm telling you that. Or they'll come for a while into church. Yes, Chikali Niva members. Whoop, hill of difficulty. Hey, where's the people gone? Yeah, they're gone. This is often, listen to me, slow building. Often this works a bit slower. But you want to build the church that comes back, that stands until Jesus comes back. Build it on biblical grace. All right. It is by grace that I am saved. So grace is at work in my salvation, and let me tell you what grace is at work in my sanctification, my continual growth. I'm astonished you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of God. The other thing we often do, we've got grace for the lost, and as soon as they're not the lost anymore, the grace is lost. And it's because of our excitement, but the main thing there is, am I helping some people here this morning? Okay. The main word here is patience. Jesus had plenty. He sent 12 people out 2 by 2. One poor little bloke went with Judas to minister. Okay? There's Jesus. Like, yo, you guys can do it. They're probably messing up all over the place. People still get saved. Hey, have patience. Let not the grace depart when initial grace is received. We must grow in grace. Amen? But a grace that makes us holy. I'll get to that. Let me say this. Grace in a church will inspire risk and faith. Listen to what I'm saying. in your small group, if you are gracious so that mistakes can be made, you'll get more faith and risk. You try and work them, you'll get people that works with you when you are there. When you're not there, they will keep. You must release grace. You can do it. It's okay, make a mistake. Stand up, go again. Amen? Risk and faith is what we want. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. God's grace always changes us to be more like Christ. Otherwise, it's not God's grace. Alright, we know where we're going. All I'm saying is, let us pray. Let us have patience in bringing people to true grace. Let's not try and have a dress rehearsal. Quickly do this so that I can say, hey, you're safe. Kijk het die oude kerk toe gebring en nou, doe nou al die rechte goed. We confront sin, we love people, but we must have patience so that true grace can have its work. I want you to come to church because you want to come to church, not because I'm counting how many people's here this morning. I want you to be here, looking forward, waking up and say, Lord, today I want to praise your name. Today I want to stand in your presence. We want people to come out of faith. Right? We have to work on that. Now there's a few things that builds grace in your community. I only have 4 points and we're done. And I believe that this will help us. I'm very smart. I learned a new word. A grace-filled community understands bletting. Okay? Now, bletting is the ripening of fruit, especially of fruit stored until the desired degree of softness is attained. Like, what's a typical example? I forgot a pear, eh? You buy it and it's hard. You don't take it home and chuck it in the bin. Put a bit of Quran papier on, eh? And then in the cast. And then what happens after a few days? You can eat the thing. And we are the same. We are the same. As humans, there's sometimes bletting that needs to happen. It happens in Peter's life, in Paul's life. If Jesus discarded Peter after denying him 3 times, we have a problem with the New Testament. We would God have to raise up someone else. But Jesus understood this. The guy is weak. And he sinned, denied me. Hey. Pray for him. Love him. Show him your grace. What happens later? Preaches 3,000 people get saved. Writes a New Testament. Bletting. It happens here. It's busy in this place right now. It's busy in your small group. Don't throw the avocado in the drum. Okay? He's on his way. He's on his way. Love him. You know, it's like a gleiplank, okay? There's times when you climb up and you use energy, but you go this much forward. And then you glay. Whoa! We can't be glaying all the time. I can't do it all the time. Let grace take people to a place where they bear beautiful fruit for Jesus. Have the patience. A grace-filled community understands this process and help the person by discipling. Take your energy and help them to be more in love with Jesus. It's going to take them. If you get someone to have a time a day where they read the word and play and pray to the lover of their soul, regularly they will get there. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Make sense? Now God is teaching me these things, and I was spending time with one of my friends in Sukuna, seeing him once a week. They didn't come to church at that time. We've got this thing, you know, some of you know, we read Bible and then we come together and then we do notes. All these little small books like 1 Peter, he goes away for the week, come back. He must tell me, even if he doesn't know the Lord or just met him, he must tell me what did he write down in chapter 1? What was awesome? And then I show him mine, and we call it a bit of accountability group. And so this person was in a very explicit sinful relationship. Okay? And the Holy Spirit explicitly told me, don't talk to him about it. You just do the accountability. Week 5, we only did it for 6 weeks. Week 5, he says, you know, there's a problem in my life. He comes with it. So the Holy Spirit was speaking to him. Serving the Lord today, doing amazing. And I wanted to push that thing from the first day. Isn't it funny? I knew about it. I wasn't allowing that sin. It was killing me. I was praying for it. But I knew God had talked to him. Let him. Give him time to ripen. Let him first know who's this person that loves him before we tell him what that person wants him to do. Meet Jesus. Meet Jesus. Which leads us to the next point. Is that a grace-filled community speaks the truth in love. Speaks the truth in love. I'm with you. I'm behind you. You know I love you. But this area, this is going to hurt your marriage. I'm being honest with you. That's grace right there. I'm being gracious to you. And you know what? You are not responsible for that person's response. Many will follow Jesus up to a point. Now this is also bad news, but it's true. Some people will walk for a while and turn away. I'm sorry. It will happen. Don't tell me I have faith. It will happen. Jesus said it. Done. So I come with grace. I love you. You're my best friend, whatever. Can we address this area? And pray that they will repent. Within this thing of allowing them to see God, to see the love of Christ, and then speaking the truth. It doesn't contradict blatting. It just helps us to understand the next point, which is creates a safe returning place for the prodigal son. We as charismatics are the most terrible often when it comes to lasting relationships. We burn our bridges like this. Done. Done. If we love people, we speak the truth in their life, and we tell them how committed we are to them. The discipling is always a bridge back home. Always. If they don't repent immediately, they always know that they can come back. Prodigal son couldn't do all those stuff he wanted to do out there in his dad's house, wouldn't allow it, went away, came back. His dad was waiting for him. Always come back. Always come back. Make sense? Don't burn bridges when the person is blatting. And they're ripening. Hey, they're getting there. Give them time. They learn to ride a bike without wheels. Hulle gaan grond koop. Okay? Let them fall. Let them make mistakes. Hey, I need that grace, man. I need that. It goes two ways. I need that from my congregation. I need to know that I'm in a community that if I mess up, there will be love and acceptance for me still. And that actually empowers me to preach my heart out. No fear, no worries. I'm just going to go for it. If I mess up, speak to me. I know you love me. And I will repent because I repent every day in any case because I know what a mess up I am. But I don't want to tippy toe. I want to go for God. But that can only happen in an environment of grace. Risk and faith happens. Then the last point, the grace-filled community is fueled by a love for Jesus. We don't worship grace, we just worship Jesus. He gives grace. Okay? Because I'm so dumbstruck by how much He loves me, I humble myself. Because I humble myself, grace storms into me. And I can give, I can overcome. And when it comes to the hill of difficulty, listen, ek huiver vir 'n oomblik, né? Worry for a moment, this is a difficult thing. And then grace comes in. Fills me. I can do all things through Christ. Grace has been given. If he's done it to me once, he can do it to me again and again and again. It's the worship. All the songs we did this morning just spoke to my heart. What is that one verse in Cornerstone? When he comes with trumpet and sound, may I in him be found. They will be found in Christ, in His grace. not lawless to the one side, not working our hindknees off to please Him, but to do it because we love Him already. I can't wait for church because I love Christ. Not because someone is checking whether I'm coming. It's so difficult to inspire someone and see that person turn to Jesus. Much easier to manipulate. It's never lasting, ever. Never, never. So I've made a commitment in my life. I'll take it slower, but I want it lasting. I'll take it slow. My patience has increased. I don't have a lot of patience. If I want something now, I want it now. So it's a work in my life. But I want to be a part of a church that stands until Jesus comes back. And so, if slow cooker is better than microwave, then it's slow cooker. Amen. Let's stand up this morning. Jesus, as we stand before You, we are speechless. We are speechless, Lord, that if we look at ourselves and behind the mask, Lord, we know who we are, Lord, and we know we're not perfect, and still You love us with a raging love, and You call us friend. You are the kindest person we know, Lord. Coming to us, doing everything for us, Lord. Laying Yourself down. And I pray, Lord, that we will get a revelation of that love that will send us all over the world. It's a love that empowers, not paralyzes. It's a love that causes us to be anything except passive because we are bursting with it. If we go, if we pray, if we share, may it be because we are in love with God, not trying to achieve it. We will get utterly frustrated. Lord, set us free right now, Lord. I just want to ask if you're carrying burdens that you should not bury, I want you to put your hand up in the air. Very high, not halfway. That doesn't count this morning. Okay? Just because maybe you've had just a slight misencounter with grace and you are carrying so heavy on a load. I just want to pray with you where you are standing. Holy Spirit, pray that You'll visit every person right now with hands in the air and cause the Holy Spirit deliverance encounter right there. Delivering us from our works. Delivering us from our efforts in trying to please You so that You can just look at us and love us. Deliver us right now in the name of Jesus. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, I receive Your love and Your kindness in my life. Let Your grace send me. Let Your grace keep me. Let Your grace be the reason I never stop talking about You, loving You, singing for You. It's Your kindness. I receive it and I let go of my burdens. In the name of Jesus we pray.